I'd like to turn you back to Job chapter 33 if you have God's word with you. Please do open it. That passage, we've entitled our message tonight, A Great Find. A Great Find. Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence already in our midst this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the hymns of Zion we've been singing. We're conscious, Lord, that thou art one that speaketh. And thou hast been speaking, Lord, to the unconverted. And, oh God, we thank the Lord that we've sang about the one who's the fairest of 10,000 to her soul. And, oh Father, we pray that we might, Lord, uplift him. The preacher would be forgotten about, but that Christ might be seen. We ask, Lord, that thou would bless us as we come into this passage. Take away every distraction, every distracting thought that would concern us even for this week. Lord, we pray thou would close us in with thyself just now. And I ask, Lord, that thou would give us help. Oh God, thou would anoint us with fresh oil for service. Anoint us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Functionize us, Lord, from above. That we might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. Oh, hear our prayer. Give help, Lord, tonight in the pulpit. Give help, Lord, in the pew. For, Lord, we're conscious one day we'll have to give an account. Oh, hear this, our prayer, and abide with us now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes there have been those who have spoken the truth, and yet they themselves are not right with God. It may have been a statesman. It may have been one who is in a position of power. And the words that they've used or even quoted were truth. But yet as far as they were concerned, they were only empty words and only from the lips outward. How often have we heard it said of the drunkard who in the midst of his drinking stupor is found to quote verses of Scripture. It has to be said that while they speak the truth, yet the sad reality is that they haven't experienced the healing and the comfort of God's Word in their own lives. And when we come to consider many of the chapters in this book of Job, then that is what we also find. The three men who came to Job in order to comfort him were to feel in that regard and to feel miserably. But often they speak words of truth. They believed that Job was suffering from being divinely judged for his sin by God. But what they didn't know was what God knew. That Job was an upright man. That Job was one that feared God and eschewed evil. They didn't know that he was suffering under the attack of the devil who was permitted to touch him but couldn't take away his life. But there's another one there. The three have said their piece. And there comes forth another looking on at this highly charged scene, and that was Elihu. And it seems that he was the youngest, for we are given the detail in chapter 32 that he waited until the others had spoken because they were the elder. Mind you, it took much grace for him to keep silent, because we read also that their words only caused his wrath to be kindled. You look at the words of verse 3 of 32. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. The time came when he was to open his mouth. And what he said is given to us in these chapters. Here's a man who speaks a lot of sense. Here's a man, we go a little further and say, he speaks the truth. But yet is from a heart that is not right with God. He is a man still of the world, and there's always a danger when you hear someone speak God's word out of context and not having experienced it themselves in their own heart. But it is to some of those words that we find in this chapter that I want to draw your attention to tonight. Words that we might say convey the message of God's salvation to the lost sinner. For I suggest to you that Elihu and his message speaks to the saved, unsaved sinner tonight. And without Christ and without God's salvation or hope in this world, for what you're faced with is a solemn and yet a great find. As far as the eternal well-being of your soul is concerned, and I draw your attention to the words of my text, let me read them to you. Verse 23 and 24, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. You'll notice, first of all, there with me, the danger of the sinner. In the course of these words, we're given a glorious picture of what it is for the soul this evening without God's salvation. You see, dear men and women, it doesn't matter how upright or how decent that person might be. It matters now not how good a churchgoer that their attendance at the house of God suggests they are. But a glimpse of these words reveal to us the exact and the true nature of the sinner born into this world. And therein lies the danger if they should proceed along the path of life in this state. For you'll notice firstly that the sinner is one who's deaf to the voice of God. And the objections they may be raised from the soul tonight saying, preacher, I'm not deaf. I can hear you loud and clear. I can hear you preaching the gospel. But my friend, you're one who are deaf to God's voice. Look at the words of this passage in verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice. And how many times? How many times has the Lord spoken to your heart about your sin? How often have you known the Lord come strangely near and your heart has been exposed to the preaching of the gospel and you know your need of God's salvation? But my friend, you've been deaf to His call, for man perceiveth it not. God speaketh once, yea twice, but man perceiveth it not. And the same truth is emphasized in the words of verse 16. Then He openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. For God comes along, and it may be, as verse 15 might suggest, it may be that it's while you're upon your bed at night, that your sleep is taken from you, that God causes your ears to be opened. And just as He opened the heart of Lydia that night, that day by the riverside, so the Lord needs to open and unstop your ears to His voice and to the warnings of His gospel. You see, you don't need to open the ears of someone unless they're deaf. And that's your state tonight, sinner by birth. You're not only blind that you cannot see where you're heading spiritually, but you're also one who's deaf to the callings of the Master. And you see, that's why and that's how that you can sit meeting after meeting under the preaching of the gospel and yet still be unmoved, still be undisturbed in your sin and unrepentant. The hymn writer got it right when we sang earlier on, where he said, O sinner, thine ears have been deaf to thy voice. The calls of thy Savior have so wearied thee. Oh, what if they should weary Him? You consider how many times the Lord has spoken to your heart. But not only is the sinner deaf, but they're under God's condemnation and they're lost already. You think of the language of these verses, especially those where it speaks of the pit, and you will see that the sinner is one who is progressively lost. It is not merely the case that one day they will be lost. if they continue to go on the way they're going. But the words of John 3, they do remind us that the soul that is unbelieving is one who is already lost and already under the condemnation of God. For the Savior was to say in verse 36 of that very chapter, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You're not saved tonight, your sin already condemns you. And yes, there is that great judgment still to come, when this world shall be no more, and all nations shall be gathered before the great white throne, and before the judge of all the earth, to that place where they will stand accused before the Lord. There is that great judgment to come where sin will be eternally judged. But understand, my friend, you're lost now. You're lost now. You're condemned already on your way to that judgment day and to that place where God has forgotten to be merciful. That is your true state. That is your true condition before a thrice holy God. And the Scriptures remind us that there's none righteous, no, not one. There is no good in any one of us that would warrant God's mercy. For indeed, Romans 3 tells us that there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. And so here is you, sinner, one who's deaf to God's voice, one who is destitute without God and Christ in this world and without hope, one who is already condemned because of sin, one who doesn't seek God but rather will do anything other than seek the Lord and seek His mercy and salvation. And yet it may be that you like to think that you're not that lost soul. When the preacher speaks about one who is lost, when the preacher mentions one who is condemned, then it must be the drunkard, it must be the immoral person, it must be that other one who has gone so far down into their sin. It can't be me. My dear loved one, the soul without Christ is lost. And you're already condemned. And I want to tell you that you're one who is descending into that place called hell. That is not often preached about or spoken upon these days. See the words of my text? Words of verse 24, deliver him from going down to the pit. You're on that downward path as I preach, a day nearer that awful place than where you were this time last evening. Every step that you take without Christ is taking you down, down, descending into that place. Can I illustrate it to you? I would do so from other scriptures, thinking of the man whom the good Samaritan was to come to and help, who had fallen among thieves by the wayside. That good Samaritan is Christ, for it's only Christ that can heal the sin-sick soul. It's only Christ who can bind up the wounds. It's only Christ who can help where others have failed and others who have passed by on the other side. You see, the man fallen by the wayside is the sinner. Where has he come from? What path was he on? Let me read it to you as we find it in Luke 10, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Like every sinner, he has come from the heights. Jerusalem geographically was in the hilltop. It was in the heights. And this man had made his journey from Jerusalem and he was going down to Jericho. And Adam, in his natural state, in his creative state, in that garden before he sinned, he was in the heights with God. He was in that sweet communion with God. But then he sinned, and sin had entered into the world. And man ever since is descending all the time, descending into the depths. Jonah, you can think of him as well, who heard the call of God, and yet he disobeyed that call. And it says that in fleeing from the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa. The danger, sinner, is that in refusing the voice of the Lord, you're damned, you're lost, you're descending farther and farther away from the Lord. Oh, that you would be wise to your danger tonight. You would see it for what it really is. There's not only the danger of the sinner, I want you to see, but there's the destiny of the sinner. If it wasn't bad enough to consider your state and your condition before God this evening, and dear friend, the words of our text cause us to go even further. For there's a destiny of the unbeliever to consider. That which speaks of their destiny is the word pit. That's found in my verse. And a closer attention at this chapter, and you will find that it's a word that is used at least four times over. And if you consider each of these verses, then we're given quite a comprehensive picture of what is meant by the pit and the character of it. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Person in their sin, in their blindness, in their depravity, is heading towards the pit of death. There is, of course, death in the midst of life. God said to Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The penalty of death was upon the disobedience to God's command. And when Adam took of that forbidden fruit, when he disobeyed God, then sin entered into this world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But not only did Adam begin to die physically, but he died spiritually. His will, his heart, his mind, his whole being was turned away from God. And it was turned towards sin. And he was in danger of dying eternally in that pit where sin will be eternally punished. God, who is a holy God, will punish sin. And there is the pit of death to which all sinners are heading to and will be in if they reject God's offer of mercy to them. That you would look at this, dear sinner in our meeting, that you would see this for yourself. I would that you would consider the words of verse 18, for there you'll find the words. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. You who have rejected God's offer of mercy, you who have been privileged in hearing the message of the gospel to your soul and is able to save you for time and for eternity, you who have been deaf to his voice, you who would rather hold on doggedly to your sin, can you think of any reason? Any reason whatsoever why God should keep you out of that pit? Can you think of any reason why you're not already in that pit of death and that for all eternity? Any reason? Nothing but the mercy, nothing but the restraining grace of God has kept you out of that pit. He has kept your soul back from the very precipice and the edge of that pit so that you would have opportunity to sit under the preaching of the gospel that is able to save your soul. But you know what? It's not only a pit of death, it's also a pit of destruction. It is that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The words of verse 30 of our chapter would speak to us of a place of destruction, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. The pit of destruction from which the sinner needs to be delivered from. For when God finally judges sin, he will cast the unbeliever along with the devil and his angels into that pit of destruction. It is that bottomless pit of which the book of the Revelation speaks about, from where will ascend the smoke of their torment, and it will be forever and forever. For I read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. The pit will be where the sinner will be cast for all eternity. From the presence of God into that place where there's no mercy of God, into that place where there's no answers to prayer, into that place where there's no escape, it is unending. It is the pit of destruction for all who die in their sin, for all who die rejecting the offer of God's mercy through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, dear soul, is that the pit to which you're heading tonight because of your sin? The pit of eternal destruction. You'll also see it, it's a pit of darkness. The words of verse 28, again, the word is found, which suggests to us that there's no light there. But it's a pit of darkness from which the sinner needs to be delivered. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. There's no light in it. And that, of course, would concur with the teaching of the New Testament scriptures and what the Savior was to teach. For you recall to your mind tonight that passage that speaks about the king's son's marriage. And the man who came and he sought to enter into the marriage feast without having on the wedding garment. And no attention was paid to him by the others. There is the implication that he may have looked just like the rest. That was until the king himself came in. And when the king came in, he was to ask the man, he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And we read these words of the man, and he was speechless. He couldn't offer an argument. But while the man was speechless, the king wasn't, for he was to give the command, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that is to where you're heading in your sin tonight. It's a pit of eternal death. It's a pit of everlasting destruction. And it's a pit of outer darkness. Oh, dear loved one, without God's salvation, would you not consider your latter end? This is not some fanciful story. This is God's Word. This is God's truth. Think solemnly about those eternal realities. Think solemnly tonight in the few minutes that God has given to you about the well-being of your soul. That is the destiny to which you're progressing to, descending into that pit and that for all eternity. Will you not seek to heed the message of the gospel? But you know, while we've considered the destiny of the sinner and the danger of the sinner, thank God I don't end there. For there's a deliverer for the sinner. While our text has shown us the natural state of every man born of Adam's race, and while we have clearly seen the fearful pit to which they're heading, there's also the message of hope, and that message is all of God's grace. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Throughout the verses that we've already read and looked at in this passage, there's one thing that is common through them all. And that is, God is seen to be the one who does the calling. It's God who opens the ears that they may hear. It's God who restrains the sinner from falling over the precipice into the pit. And it is God who's the message for the sinner. What's that message? Deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. There's the great find. It is as if God looks throughout all creation for one who will be the Savior, one who will be a deliverer for the lost, condemned, and damned sinner. And there's none who can be found, but that one who will be the ransom is God's only begotten Son. For he that spared not his Son hath delivered him up for us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. There is no other good enough to pay that price for sin. It's Christ who from eternity past was to come and was to pay the price for man's sin and who would deliver them from the pit of hell. It was Christ alone who would willingly go to the cross of Calvary so that he might lay down his life in the sinner's place. It is Christ alone who could descend into the depths, taking upon himself our sinful nature and becoming sin and paying our hell so that we wouldn't have to. It's Christ alone who could shed his precious, atoning, incorruptible blood as an atonement for our sin. For that, you see, is what the word ransom has to do with. Christ was to offer that once for all sacrifice for sin, that sinner you might be redeemed. And you might be redeemed from the prison house of sin, and that you might be set free never to go back to it again. It took nothing less than the blood of God to ransom the souls of men and women from an eternal destruction. You see the word ransom. It's a rendering of the word kafir in the Old Testament Hebrew. It's a word for atonement. And God says, I have found an atonement. I have found a ransom. The deliverer is none other than the mediator between God and men. That's why I must read verse 23 along with my text, where it says, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto men his uprightness. He's the great messenger of the covenant. But there's more than that in that verse. He's the interpreter, and an interpreter is one who stands in between. He is one mediator between God and man. He is, in the words of C.H. Spurgeon, one who can speak two languages. For as the only mediator, the man Christ Jesus, he can speak the language of heaven. Because he is God, he is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. He is all the attributes that God is, for he is God. But he can also speak the language of man, for he left heaven's glory. He came down to this earth that he might take upon himself our nature, that he might walk amongst men and one day die for sinful man. And the good news, sinner, is that there is a deliverer. There is one who can save you from your sin. There's one who can deliver you from that pit. And I want you to see it. And I want to tell you in the words of verse 23, he is one among a thousand. Listen, there is none like Christ. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. My deliverer, my Savior, is chiefest among them all. Will you seek him this evening by faith? You can know the miracle of salvation. For you see, what the Lord does for the sinner is seen in these verses. He calls. He causes the sinner to be convicted of their sin. That's the work of regeneration by His Spirit. Where before there was deafness and deadness, now they're brought to consider their state and also the holiness and the justice of a holy God. Then there's redemption. Verse 28, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. There's a delivering of the soul from death unto life, from the power of darkness unto God. And the sinner is redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And from redemption there is the reward, verse 30, to bring back his soul from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living. My dear friend, if you want both light and life, then it's found in Christ. It's found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who can wrought such a work in your heart tonight by the miracle of his matchless grace. But I wonder, will you come? Will you bow the knee? Will you yield in submission to his call? Will you come and be saved now, and instead of the pit, come and be pardoned? Instead of death, come and know deliverance. And that for all eternity. My dear loved one, I pray that you will come to Christ. And you will have found a great find. For you'll have found the pearl of great price. The message: deliver him from going down to the pit. For I have found a ransom. It's all of God. He's found an atonement. He's found a redeemer for lost souls of men and women. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you take him tonight? Will you embrace God's offer of mercy to your soul and accept Christ as your Savior? God help you to do so. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. In closing, I want to thank you for your attention tonight. God has been speaking. How often has he spoken to your heart, sinner? Yet you're not saved. Will you come now? I'm here afterwards. I'll gladly open the scriptures to you. I'll just point you to the same Redeemer. You need clarity, you need understanding in some matter, we'll gladly open the scriptures and point you to the Savior. But listen, there is a ransom. There is a Savior for your soul. It is the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come tonight and know him as your Lord, as your King, and as your Savior. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for the message that we have considered even from this passage tonight. A passage, Lord, that shows us our undone state. A passage that shows the true state of the sinner. And, O God, yet a passage that also directs us to consider eternity. To consider, Lord, the pit to which men and women have their faces toward tonight. That pit of death, that pit of destruction. Oh God, that pit of damnation where sin will be eternally punished. That pit of darkness. Lord, I pray that thou would speak in the closing seconds of this meeting, that men and women and young people might be turned to the Deliverer. For we thank God for the message, for the one who is a ransom, for the one who is our atonement, for the one who is our only Savior. The one who gave his life's blood that he might redeem men and women from their sin and from this pit. Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Lord, we've read the word gracious in our text. And we thank you, Lord, thou art a God of grace. Be gracious unto that soul. Open the deafened ears and stop them, Lord, I pray. Open, Lord, the eyes. Lord, open the heart. That they might receive the engrafted word of the gospel tonight, which is able to save their soul. Hear this, our prayer. Speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. For we ask these things for thy glory's sake. And in the name of the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.